last night we called Brother Cleveland and he says, Brother Cleveland, I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it. But by the grace of God, we are here. And I will not apologize for my voice because it's the bug's fault. It's not my fault. So, all right. As we read this scripture verse, it says, all who dwell on earth will worship him. But thank God there is an exception. We don't need, in this case, to belong to this kind of all. You may raise your hand and say, please excuse me. I don't want to be part of that group. Because those that worship him, in this case, the beast, also worships the dragon, also worships the image. And therefore, where the destroyer goes, destruction follows. And everyone who is an instrument of destruction will be together when this destruction consumes everything that has been bugging us. All the things that has harmed us, everything that harmed us mentally, physically, in any aspect, will be forever gone. And that is the day we are all looking forward. So today's message we entitled The Mark of the Beast, Part 2, because we did talk a little bit about last time. I'm going to speed up a little bit here because there's quite a few slides. I want to make sure that we cover most of them, but not so fast to the point that it becomes meaningless what we're trying to say, okay? So, as you know, we Seventh-day Adventist Bible believers, we emphasize the three angels' message as the closing, God's warning for the world. It's like God is saying, this is it. I have a three message that I'd like to let you know. But basically, I noticed that the intent of all three of them is to call us to one single thing. And that is, listen to the message. And what is the message? Worship Abba only. Don't worship anything else, because whatever you choose to worship, destruction part is becoming part of what you become. So worship Abba, the Creator. Worship the beast is what the dragon is telling the whole world. For us to wonder after the beast and to bow down to the beast. And by the way, the first message we mentioned 2 weeks ago, we mentioned, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, we mentioned that it's very typical for us humans to follow the herd. You know, we want to be part of everybody's going that direction, I'm going that direction, where we're going doesn't matter as long as everybody is going the same direction. And people think sometimes there is safety with multitude. People believe that just because there are too many of us doing the same thing, that must be right. And that is the herd mentality. And we are not. God gave us one head, one brain, so we don't have to be divided. We need to make sure that whatever we have in our brain, we must follow. And God gives us the ability to discern. That's why we are not beasts. And we should not act like one. We mentioned before, somebody asked me, why, Pastor, the Bible talks about these animals being beasts? Because they have the ability to reason, but they refuse to reason. Have you ever noticed sometimes when somebody's doing something so terribly wrong that you ask, that's a typical expression in English, are you out of your mind? Isn't that, especially when the person claims to be so intelligent, that person says, well, this individual is rich, is bright, he has a doctor, PhD this, PhD that, has a whole line of just degrees, and yet the person does something that is complete out of their mind. What is the word expression out of your mind means? Loco. Crazy. Nuts. And that is exactly the right definition for someone who is acting like a beast, who is refusing to use the most privilege that we have that made us into the image of God, the ability to reason. So let's be rational. Let's grab this information and do something intelligent about. Let's choose to worship Abba. There's no anyone else that we can. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood and he saw in the sea, coming out of the sea, the beast rising out of the sea. We remember we told you the sea is multitudes, people. This is the beast that came from Europe. And what happens to this beast? Has a blasphemous name. There is an emphasis on the name all the time. So I'm going to make sure that you remind of this. And this beast, if you understand this beast, you need to sit down, open your Bibles in Daniel 7, and then you see the four beasts there. And also Daniel 2, when it talks about the kingdoms, each kingdom is symbolized by a beast. So this beast is a mix of all of them. One thing that I did not say before, and I would like to say for you today, why is this beast has parts of every kingdom before? That is not any different than the beast today. The beast today have a group of heresies that took some from Babylon, took some from the Medo-Persians, took some from the Greeks, a lot from the Greeks, believe me, a lot from the Greeks, and of course, from Rome itself. Rome was a pot, you know, like they say, potluck. Some people say that, a pot with things from every culture, all the heresies. And this beast put this pot before the people today, the world today, and ask us to take a sip, to eat from that. And this beast is feeding the whole world with heresies. Heresies that have penetrated even the Seventh-day Adventist. Even those that are maybe sitting here today. And I'm saying this because I still have a voice, and as long as I have a voice, I will use it. Now the beast which I saw was like, and here comes the description, part of the leopard, which is the Greeks, his feet like the feet of a bear, Medo-Persians, and his mouth like the mouth of the lion, that's Babylon. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and gave him his authority. So you need to understand that this is not a human power by itself. It is a power that has the almighty ability to destroy, because the destroyer himself, Abaddon, not Abba, but Abaddon, gave him his power. And you know what the Abaddon means, right? Abba means father, Don means destruction. So Abaddon means the father of destruction, the destroyer. Revelation 13 verse 2. Continue. And he was given a mouth, a big mouth, a mouth that has no restraint. By the way, have you seen some people with a mouth that has no restraint and they say whatever they want and they don't care who they offend? That's him. He speaks with a mouth and in a blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue this for 42 months. This was the first stage. Let's see what he did with this 42 months. 42 months is actually 1,260 in 60 days. But in prophecy, we understand in Ezekiel 4 verse 6, it says, I have laid on you a day for each year. So we know that this actually is 1,260 years. This is the period, this is one stage when this power of blasphemy was given the ability to try to destroy everything that was good that was still in existence in this planet. Little 1,206 years. It start when the power was given to him, 538 AD. 1,260 goes to 1798. What happens there, we all know. General Berthier, we mentioned last time, on February 1798, he took Pius VI prisoner. And France believed at that time, finally, we got rid of this pest, this problem. It was a problem because he was always in control of everything, every business in every nation. And they thought, this is it. And by the way, pay attention on February 1798. Do you know what happened February 11th? 1929, I'm ahead of myself here. I'll pause and then I'll tell you. Remember when I said, okay. And I saw one of his head as it had been mortally wounded. That's what happened 1798 when he was arrested. And his dead wound was healed. When? It was healed in 11th of February 1929. What happens then in that occasion, 95 years ago? Not only the Bishop of Rome was giving back the Vatican, made it an independent state, made it in such a way that even the Vatican was reimbursed for all the state of, they call, I'm not going to use the word Pope, okay? Because I'll tell you why, later on why. Because that is blasphemy. And I don't want to commit a sin of blasphemy. I don't want to call somebody for a name that is blasphemous. Okay? So I will tell you why. And some of you may say, Pastor, I think you're going too far on this. I think this is kind of extremism. I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes we think there's extremists to do right. But the evil does never think, never apologize to go to their extreme as when you go to the left. So why only the people that went to the right side apologize for being right, but the people that go to the extreme to the left, they always compliment themselves. They even call it progressive. Progressive. This is growth. And all the world marveled at the healing. It's amazing how a state so small is being so rich and so powerful. What keep that state that has no army, I mean, typical army, why are they so powerful that when they speak, every president, every governor, even communist China, even Putin, all of them, pay attention when this individual speaks. What in the world is going on? The only explanation is the dragon is behind everything. Amen. And allow and follow the beast they are claiming. Revelation 13 verse 3. And I saw another beast come up out of the earth. We know that this is the United States later on, comes out of the earth. Okay, I'm not going into detail now. And this beast is the one who actually gave more power to the other beast. And he, this beast that came from the earth, exercised the authority of the first beast, the one that comes from the sea, in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell to worship the first beast. Have you noticed the pattern here? It doesn't matter who does what, the intent is to worship something that is not God. It doesn't matter what, as long as you worship anything else that is not God, it's fine with the dragon. Do you know why the dragon has so many, the beast has so many heads? Because it doesn't matter. Confusion is what they need to rely on. They don't care to be in unity. They care only to be rebellious against the only one who actually needs to be worshipped, which is God. That's Revelation 13, verse 12. Continue. He performs great signs. Talk about the beast that come from the earth. Perform great signs. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth. Yeah, I asked the Japanese people. They know this reminds them. Read again. And he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth. Hiroshima, Nagasaki. If you go to Vietnam and talk to some people over there, when you see these airplanes throwing bombs, fire bombs, with a massive destruction, you wonder how literal this is, Revelation 13, 13. And it continues. And he deceives those who dwell on earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell in the earth to make an image of the beast. I don't know how many of you have seen, every time we have a president-elect, for some reason he finds a way to go to Rome, with a very few exceptions. Sometimes people are very critical of some presidents, but sometimes they realize that, by the way, this president did not go to kiss the ring. Everybody else, even one that is said he's a Christian, but actually his own political partner says he's a Muslim. Any of those, even them, they went to the Vatican also. And by the way, the Vatican, people from Buddhism, Shintoism, and a lot of other isms, they know the ism way. And they all go to the Vatican to play their isms. Revelation 13, 14. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. In other words, to help it to revive, to come into power. And by the way, one thing that many people do not know, many of a very multiple national business have a lot of Vatican money into it. I was shocked to see how many banks in the United States, even banks that we consider very popular, have a lot of Vatican money behind it, power behind it. I had one when I was a pastor of another church, Seventh-day Adventist Church. When I was a pastor, excuse me. Okay. I very good, Mark. Brother Marcus attempt, I said, if I'm about to sneeze, please squat in. He was right on. You passed the test, brother. All right. And by the way, take time sometimes to thank those behind doors that provide us service. I know he didn't expect this, but sometimes people are there, you have no idea. It's very hot up there. Very, and to sometimes for them to stay awake is tough. So we thank you so much. All right. He calls all, I was about to say, this members in our church said, Pastor, I'm no longer going to return tithe and I'll no longer return offerings to this church. And I went to meet the person. I said, is there any reason why this suddenly reaction, because they were very faithful, very supportive financially, and also active in the church. And then I said, can you explain what the reason? We feel uncomfortable, but if you insist, I'll tell you. I said, yes, I insist. I'm curious. He says, it's because this church have an account in this particular bank. And this bank is owned by the Vatican. By the way, I have heard a lot of reasons why people don't want to return tithe. But this one beats all of them. But this individual said, I talked to them a little bit in a very kind way. I said, look, let's do an investigation. Even if it's not the case, is it possible for you to bank, you know, any bank that has any not connection with something that you do not believe? Because banks invest in many things. You know, most of us here that have savings account, we have no idea what the bank does with that money, to whom they lend. Once that you put for the money in their hand, they have the discretion to whatever. So this is the Bible text, and I'm going to be close this here so I can go back to the... We look for Romans chapter 14, and I study with them, showing to them the Romans 14, Paul discusses here that we do not have responsibility when somebody else does something else with we don't have control. He says, if I have a lamb, it's clean. If the person who killed the lamb is a pagan, the lamb is still a lamb, it's still clean. It doesn't matter who killed it. If the person used an unclean method, then it could be the case. So Paul discussed this, and that's what we use. And thank God they started returning again, but it was a very unique approach. Back to our message, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark on the name of the beast and the number of his name. Allow me to make a little bit of caution here. Sometimes when we preach about this, some people get so overwhelmed, scared, because they say, how are we going to survive, especially when we have children? If you study scripture, you're going to find out that God never became absent when his people need him the most. Okay, so don't get the impression that this power will be so powerful that it will take you from him. The only thing can take you from God is your will. Amen. Okay, so don't search the scriptures for promises that will give you strength to say, I receive these blessings. It's good for me to know what, when, but it's not me. And keep your loyalty to God and God alone. Let me repeat, keep your loyalty to God and to God alone. It doesn't matter how many lions they throw in your cave. It doesn't matter who is warring around you. Make sure that you keep your loyalty. Your loyalty should not be shaped by the circumstances that are surrounding you. Let me repeat this, because I hope that if you forget everything, you won't forget this point. Circumstances around you should never shape your character. Amen. Circumstances around you should never define who you are. Amen. If you look in the mirror, what you should see is the image of God. Not the circumstance around your bathroom, whatever is in the back room, whatever it is. Don't let circumstance mold your life. But by a godly character, let that be what defines who you are. Here is the patience. What it means, patience? The one who doesn't give up. It's not talking about the weak. It's not a talk about those that wants to be brainwashed. Here are the patients of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God. Not the ones who are trying to find excuse to be a herd, to be part of the multitude, and have what? The faith of Jesus. Most of us, we know very clearly what patience is. We know very clearly what keeping the commandments of God is. But sometimes we do not know what the faith of Jesus is. Do you know what the faith of Jesus is? To be like his Father. The faith of Jesus is just, you see me, you see the Father. There's no two. And I know that the Jewish people for centuries, they worship God. They obey the Ten Commandments. But when Jesus came, they refused Jesus. I know that some did for the right reasons, because it was hard for them to have the concept that God, Abba in heaven, and now this individual here that has been a carpenter for a few years, that I will know his brothers and his sisters. We know where he comes from. How can he say that he is God? But many people that took the time to listen to Jesus, like you and I and some other, they realized that Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am one with the Father, at least check my teachings and check my works and see that they are the same. And there is not two God. There is only one. The Father and I are alike. What is the symbol of this beast? Symbols in the Bible, we mentioned this power. Beast is power or kingdoms, but rebellious kingdoms, not with the intent to oppose. Water, people, or masses. Horns are subsequent kingdoms, crowns, rulers, and kingdoms, and blasphemies. Everything that intend to replace what God is. That's what's blasphemy. I'm going as fast as I can, okay? Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. We mentioned this. This is so they all together to representing the beasts that we find in Daniel 7. Also the dream, chapter 2, as we mentioned. A composite beast. Seven. Let me give you seven details about this beast. Source of his power. And by the way, ladies, we're not trying to be a kind of sexist here, but it does say his. It keeps saying his. And you ladies can say amen to that. Yeah, it is his. It is his. You talk about him. It is him. The dragon gave him his power, his throne. And we read this before. Now it continues. Constantine 350. Constantine claimed that he convert. By the way, he did something typical that politicians do all the time. I saw one interview that I felt sorry. I actually felt sorry for that individual. This individual was running to be a president of the United States. And this individual said, you know, one state where everybody was in favor of clean energy. So this candidate said, we're going to run these people that deal with coal and everything out of business. We're going to run them out of business. And you know, sometimes when you say a lot of baloney, you forget where you said. You say so many things that sometimes you forget. Especially when you have no clue about why you do whatever you do. You just say things. Then this person was there, and they state when almost everybody lives on in the business of coal. And the microphone was right there. And this person, I have no idea what out of their mind. The report asked, did you say that you're going to run all of us out of business? Do you know how many thousands and millions of people in this state relies on this for their daily living? And that person did a dancing. It didn't go anywhere. Yes, Constantine was like that. He was the emperor of the Roman, the collapsing Roman Empire. And there, here comes the Christians are growing. The more they try to kill the Christians, the more they are growing. It's like I heard in one book saying their blood dropped on the ground and grew like a fast Christianity by the end of the first century, even in the palace of Caesar, they were Christians. Christians, let's make the first correction here today. There is a difference between Christian and Christian. There is a Christian that is blasphemy, and there is a Christian, a follower of Christ. So don't assume that somebody says, I am a Christian. That means that a person is a Christian. Okay? Because that's the problem that we have today. Somebody dresses like a sheep, but he stinks like a wolf. But still, they think is a sheep. Constantine, it was like that. He came, he says, you know what? I'm going to give you Rome. You take care of Rome, okay? I'm going to go far east. I'm going to build this a new capital for me, Constantinople. I'm going to have my own part of there. You take care of this. It's like you say, the house is collapsing. Do you want a key, a free house? And he gave the key to him. And he had no idea what a headache he gave to the whole world, donating Rome to the bishop. And by the way, some of these documents, in the original, they have the word Pope. I do not want to use that because that's blasphemy. So I decided to replace with the Bishop of Rome, because this is officially his title. So I'm not being disrespectful to the title, but I don't want to call him what he is not. I want to call him what he is. And that's what we have a responsibility to do. When Constantine left Rome, he gave his seat to the pontiffs. Pontiff means somebody who creates bridges. And you know what is the one who creates bridges? Some people say a person who wants to create a bridge towards me must be my friend. Not if it creates a bridge in order to conquer you. And that's where this idea all came about. He created bridges in order to force the Roman way. Here goes the word there. So let's cover it up. So the bishop filled the place of the vacant emperor of Rome, inheriting their power, prestige, and titles from where? Not from Christianity. Make sure that you understand this. From paganism. Constantine left all to the Bishop of Rome. All, everything. Second, compromise. Some people today like so much this word compromise. This word is being used in politics. Some people say, unless we compromise, nothing happens in Washington. Some people think that it's better to have something that is rotten, not to have anything at all. And that's where the word compromise comes. To accept standards that are lower than is desirable. That is a definition I got from Mr. Google. All right? Compromise is to accept standards that are lower than is desirable for the sake of just get along. The origin of the Catholic Church is the tragic compromise of Christianity with the pagan religions that surrounded it. Compromise. So what happens when Christianity compromises? Is Christianity still entitled to be called Christian? They think so. Here's the source. You can later on check that. Instead of proclaiming the gospel and converting the pagans to make them into Christians, the Roman Church kind of Christianized the pagan religions and paganized Christianity. That's what happened. By blurring the difference and erasing the distinction, the Roman Church made itself attractive to the idolatrous people of the Roman Empire. Are the people doing any different today? Are churches acting any different today? I went to see, hear my daughter speak in Palm Springs, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I don't remember. And as we drove going to the location, we saw those churches, Sunday churches, with flags inviting people. Yeah, here is the place where you can come. Down the road here, we saw All Saints Church with a flag covering all the saints, hiding the saints to show the flag. Yep, we are not any different. Just as Constantine refused to fully embrace the Christian faith, he pretended to be a Christian. He was not a Christian. It's not possible for you to be a Christian and a pagan at the same time. It's not possible for you to be good and evil at the same time. It's not possible for you to be a lovely, kind person and a destructive person at the same time. It's not possible for you to be light and darkness at the same time. It is not possible. It is not possible. And what happened? Because he did not embrace Christianity completely and he continued with his pagan beliefs, he went on. So the Christian church that was supposed to be Christian decided to give up Christ so they could embrace the pagans. Church that Constantine and his successors promoted progressively, progressively became a mixture of true Christianity and Roman paganism. So what happens when you take truth and a little bit of paganism and just mix the two together? What do you have? It's not possible to retain truth. The Bishop of Rome is but the ghost of the deceased Roman Empire sitting crowned upon its grave. The pagan Roman gave its power and its paganism to the Roman Church. The pagan Rome gave its power and its paganism to the Roman Church. Remember what the Bible says? The dragon gave his power. So who was behind the whole thing? The dragon all the time. Compromise is simply changing the question to fit the answer. That's what happens. Compromise is simply changing the church to fit the world. It's not the church that's changed the world has changed the church. third universal system. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast? No one, therefore let's get it on board. It's a universal system. It is. All who dwell on the earth, all who dwell on the earth. That's how devastating this power has become. It says, but there is an exception. The exception of the all are the names of those who are written on the book of life of the Lamb. By the way, my name is there. Is your name there? Is your name there? Amen. Where? The book of life. Why does it call the book of life? Because the Lamb is the life. Amen. And there is no life without Him. Universal system. I didn't upgrade this mod, but you can see some of our presidents there and some of our big rulers there. And by the way, history tried to hide so much the involvement of the Roman Church with fascism in Italy and also the Nazis in Germany. In order to find information about how those two walk together like they are dating, holding hands, you need to dig in very deeply to find. Here's the Argentinian guy. Fourth, blasphemies, the name of God. A sin of blasphemy. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, God's name. Okay? How did he blaspheme God's name? He said, Abba is not there. I am Abba. Even Seventh-day Adventist calls me Abba. Did you hear me? Even preachers, very powerful Seventh-day Adventist preachers, calls him Abba. So how do you dare, Pastor Elson, not to call me Abba too? Everybody in South America calls him Abba. Everybody in Europe calls him Abba. Everybody in China calls him Abba. In the Philippines, they call him Abba. Everybody calls him Abba. Am I going too far with this?
No.
When are we going to wake up? Sometimes we keep talking like we are not anxious to go anywhere, but just stay here. And here it comes. It's another one, but I'm going to say anyway. When our publications, Seventh-day Adventist publications, put the name Abba for this individual, I feel sorry because I don't think they have seen the light. When I get a publication, a Seventh-day Adventist publication, and I see Abba taken out of the Sabbath and Saturn being put in place, why do we call this day Saturday? The whole intent is to take Abba out of the picture. The only intent for the whole thing is to replace, that's the sin of blasphemy, is to replace the name of our Father, Abba. And also his church, his tabernacle. Do you have a name, the word Sabbath in front of you? If you don't, just put in your mind the word Sabbath. You all know the word Abba has a B in the center, right? B in Hebrew is house. It's also a tabernacle. is also a sanctuary. So when this power trying to take Abba out of the picture is trying to take the sanctuary, is trying to take everything. Oh, wow. And don't address anyone here on earth as Abba. For only God in heaven is Abba. Amen. I don't know, brothers and sisters. There are many commandments in the Bible. There's not only 10. There are many. Okay? But I don't dare, as a Christian, to disobey this one. The moment that I saw this, I read this so many times before, but it never clicked. But one day, I realized, why is Jesus saying this? Even before the Bishop of Rome was, because the custom, the habit of calling spiritual leaders father already existed in Judah, already existed in Jerusalem. The Catholic just embrace. The Orthodox Church has the same thing. Many churches, not only Christian, so-called Christian church, have the tendency to use the title to apply for somebody who is the head of religious movement. We even used who is the father of Catholicism? Who is the father of this? We use that expression in many other areas. But in a spiritual area, Jesus Christ says, stop. Don't do it. Because that is blasphemy. There is only one God. Only one Abba. Spiritually speaking, it's in heaven. The Jews answer him saying, for a good work, we do not stone you. You know what? We're not stoning you because you are good. You're doing something good. We're going to stone you because what you're saying is blasphemy. Do you know what he was talking about? There was this, few times happened to Jesus. Jesus was about to cure somebody. Oh, no curing on the Sabbath. No curing the Sabbath. And when one day Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. They said, blasphemy, blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. By the way, that portion of the Bible, the priests run over without even looking at. Only God can forgive sins. And then they said, but to show you, which was easier, to tell this man your sins are forgiven or to tell him, get up and walk. Now, why Jesus would do this? Because they in their mind, they realize to tell this person your sins are forgiven is equal to say this person, get up and be healed. Why? Because according to their theology, the person who was sick as an act of God. Because this person was bad, therefore Abba is keeping you on the ground because you are a sinner. So to show you who Abba is, I tell this man, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. So they couldn't do anything about it because now how can they deny what they just saw? But don't be fooled. People will rebel against God. Then before the Lord returns, the wicked one who is doomed to be destroyed will appear. Oh, I think this is it says very clearly, the wicked one who is doomed to be destroyed. Destruction brings destruction. And that's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, in a common English version, it says, verse 4, he will brag and oppose everything holy or sacred. Why they go after the Sabbath? Because it's holy, sacred. Why goes Abba after Abba? Because it's holy. Why he kills millions of people? The only sin that they have is was they were keeping the Bible very close to their heart. And that's why they were killed, they were slain. He will even sit on God's temple and claim to be God. They say, if the shoe fit, and there's no shoe that fits more. This place here, he looks like, really? He's looking like, really? He looks like he's listening to our call. He says, really? Is that what he's saying? The bishop is of the great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were God and the vicar of God. By the way, you know that each of those, they have the name there, the blasphemy name there, so I just replace, okay? And here's the Ferraris Encyclopedic Dictionary article on the bishop. Vicar means a representative. It means a deputy. It means a substitute. I underline the word substitute because that's the intent. A vicar of God, the one who substitute, the one who replace, one that becomes the mediator, the one who replaces God. I have a few more to go. Should I continue or leave the rest for the next Sabbath? I'm. If it's okay with you, we're finished. Okay. He is likewise the divine monarch and supreme emperor and king of kings, so that if it would be possible, the angel heir, the faith. Look what it says here. If even he's the king of kings, he's the supreme emperor, the divine monarch. And it says, even if the angel's heir, look what he says, they could be judged and excommunicated by him. Roman Catholic Ecclesiastical. And by the way, they don't apologize for none of those things. They just say very open. We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty. That's blasphemy, as clear as it can be. Look what it keeps saying. And the scribes that the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy, who can forgive sins but God? We already went over that. For there is one God and one mediator. And by the way, he is not in Rome, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. This is the Bible says. Do you know how many mediators the Roman Church has created? No. I was raised in Brazil. Brazil was at one time 90 to 95% Catholic. Now is because the growth of Pentecostals, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and other denominations, it is not that much anymore. Now it goes to between 75-80% of the population. Every day, every single day, there is a saint for that day. And according to the church, you're supposed to pray for that saint. Because that day, that saint is the mediator. But just in case, you can pray for Mary every time because she is the mother of God. And then I said to her, what do you mean by mother of God? Have you seen any son who will not do what his mother asks? They put Mary into the fourth person of the no longer Trinity. Now, how would you say in English? I don't even know whether you have a four instead of a three. Something like that. And so is there four. But the sad part is that they put Mary to be the mother of God. She is even above God. Seek where you will through heaven and earth, and you will find but one created being who can forgive the sinner. Oh, this is too much. That extraordinary being is the priest, the Catholic priest. Ouch. God himself, look how far they go. God himself is obliged to abide by the judgment of his priest, and either not to pardon or to pardon. Even God has to be subject to the priest. Accordingly, as they refuse to give absolution, the sentence of the priest precedes and God subscribes to it. God becomes the servant, the priest. It's hard to believe that things like this even exist. It's hard. Confession. Yeah, I knelt down before those boxes a few times. Yeah, I did. And how many times you lie? A few times. And I said to him that I was lying. And then they said, okay, go now pray 10 Hail Marys and so on. And I did a few times. You know what this picture means? We have one mediator. And he is our high priest. He is the one who can hear. Because brothers and sisters, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. I ask people, do you want to be a saint? Yes. You don't need the Roman Catholic Church to give you a call. It says, by the way, do you want to be a saint? Send some few millions to this bank account. And when you drop dead, we'll make sure to take care of business. And you become a saint. Do you want to become a saint? Yes. All you have to do is get on your knees and open your heart and repent with all. And he is faithful. His eyes will be upon you. His spirit will be in you. And you sense the peace that forgiveness can give when peace comes from the above. Number 6, oppose what is holy. He shall speak, we are most there. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute you and I, the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and the law. By the way, do you all remember here what year was when the church changed the Sabbath to Sunday? I thought that nobody was going to fall for this. I know, sister, you help us to make the point. Thank you anyway. I was intent to trick you. I says, when was the Roman church change? Let's wake up. Never happened.
Never.
Why? Because he can't. Why? Because he's not supreme above anything. Only thing supreme is on his arrogance and his blindness. No sense. It's not possible. We must stop ever saying, who changed? It's a lie. They didn't change. They can. It's not possible. Because God says, I change not. Whatever I say is forever. And there is one more thing that I must bring to you here quickly before I forget. How many of you here are Seventh-day Adventist Protestant Church, from the Protestant Seventh-day Adventist Church? We call ourselves sometimes, we call the Seventh-day Adventist is Protestant Church. That's a lie. We are not a Protestant church. If you have been a Catholic before, you know what the word Protestants means.
Against.
No, it doesn't mean against. Not anymore.
Yeah.
It was a time that it meant a Protestant is, according to the Bible, a daughter of the beast. A Protestant church is the separate, according to the Vatican II, if you go to research, according to Vatican II, Protestants are separate sisters. And they are all coming back to Mama. They all. Do you know why they are coming back? The reality is they never left. They just stepped across the street and they came back. They never back. Why are they going to church on Sunday when the Bible says it's Sabbath? Because Mother said so. Why they believe in the Bible doesn't say that, because Mom says so. Those are the Protestant churches. We are not. And another point, brothers and sisters, correct this before you get to the kingdom. You need this. We, as a church, were not, the beginning of our church was not 1863. Our church started in the Garden of Eden. That's when our church started. Our denomination, don't get confused between terminology. Sometimes we confuse denomination with church. Church is above denomination. Denomination is a term that may be inclusive to the church, but is not exclusive. So make sure that you know the distinction. I am a Seventh-day Adventist by faith. But if this denomination decides to hold hands with Babylon, my loyalty stays only with Abba, because Abba created me and Abba will sustain me forever. I own everything to him and no one else.
Amen.
It was granted to him to make war, and he did. There were people that were burned. Sometimes they tied the mother, the father, and the children around them, and they set on fire. And all the people watched. This did not happen 1,000 times. This did not happen 100,000 times. This went to the millions. It was one of the most destructive power that ever existed. And it's all under the rock, because the beast is still present and is ferocious. They call the Holy Inquisition. Holy potato. Millions of people were murdered. There was a time that the river was all red with so many blood. The church may be divine right confiscate the property of it. This is what they said. The church has the right, the divine right, to confiscate everything. The word confiscate here actually means to steal. Sometimes they want a house of somebody. They falsely accuse the person of a heresy just so they could get the property. Not only people that were burned were only faithful people, but sometimes they use the system to rob the people. Imprison their persons and condemn them to the flames. In our age, the right to inflict the severest penalties. That's public ecclesiastical law, volume 2. Those laws are on the books. They are not out of books. Even death belongs to the church. I agree with them. For the first time, I agree with something. Even death belongs to them. Yes, death belongs to the dragon. Death belongs to them. Death belongs to destruction. Yes, it belongs to them. And that's why they use so effectively. There is no graver offense than heresy. And by the way, they are masters of it. Therefore, it must be rooted out. And they use that excuse to kill and to kill and kill. There is a way that seems right to humans, but the end is death. Proverbs 16, verse 25. And brothers and sisters, we all know the mark, what it means. What are the letters inscribed in the bishop's crown? What do they signify, if anything? By the way, this is written by the Romans. Today, you go to the internet, they are trying, desperately saying, it's not true. Such scripture does not exist. This is written by them. A few years ago, not today anymore. The letter is inscribed in the bishop's mitre. Are this Vicarius Filii Dei, which is in Latin, vicar of the Son of God. Here it is. Roman. How many of you know Romans? At least during the Super Bowl, you see the Romans. They still keep the Roman things, right? 1, 5, 50, 100, 500. Vicarius. 5, 1 is 6. C is 100. Then there's another a 1 in 5, another 6. And there is the C, there is 100, 112. Philly, which is 1, 2, 3, and L for 50 makes 53. There's 500 and 1, the D and the I. Put together? 666. There is no other math. He receives the capital city and power from Rome. It is a worldwide system of worship. It claims privileges that belongs to God only. Have persecuted Bible-believing Christians. Rules supreme over Europe for 1,260 years. The title adds to 666. Yes, brothers and sisters, we will leave the last because I still have to say the seal of God. So I'll bring next week the seal of God. So that we contrast with the mark of the beast. Okay? So at this time, I'd like to ask you to stand up. And by the way, thank God my voice worked. I should not doubt your prayers. Thank you so much. Okay. Let's